If the Milky Way starts to die, explain what will be going on.
So basically what will be going on is stars like the Sun, which is going to last another 4 or 5 billion years, will die, turn into white dwarfs, have their little pyrotechnic phase. So, you know, the stars that die that are like the Sun or more massive will put on a nice light show when they go out and leave behind a dark object like a neutron star or black hole. And then the stars that are left after that will, so after tens of billions of years, then it gets kind of dull because the stars just are feeble, red, you know, dwarfs anyway, and they just die as feeble stars just gradually fading away to nothing. So the Milky Way will just gradually crank down until it becomes black. And then the very last light show in the galaxy, and all other galaxies, of course, will be a little flicker caused by binary stars. So you'll still have binary stars where one star will spoon mass onto the other one and make a supernova go off. So long after most of the single stars have died, you'll get this little flicker of supernovae, of exploding stars in binary systems. And that'll be the last sort of gasp, if you like, of the Milky Way before everything kind of goes dark.
Will the universe go the same way?
And the universe, yeah, all the other galaxies, all 50 billion of them, are made of the same type of stars and the same types of masses, and they're subject to the same processes. So, yeah, in all the other galaxies, well, we'll get a little extra excitement because in about 3 billion years, we're going to merge with Andromeda, with M31. And that's going to, you know, that'll be fun for our distant descendants because there's lots of cool stuff will happen which not as dangerous to us, actually. It's very unlikely the Earth will be destroyed by that. It'll just be extreme entertainment.
I'm sure there'll be some collisions, right?
Well, there'll be some collisions, but, you know, the distance between stars is so large compared to stars. I mean, just imagine a grain of sand in a room the size of a small auditorium. That's about how much space there is around a typical star before you get to the next star. So galaxies can sort of pass through each other without stars colliding very much at all. But then gravity is a long-range force, so they get distorted and messed up, and stars get flung out and changed. Their orbits all get changed.
Chris, let me ask you this. What do you think it's all about? I mean, because I think you and I will agree there's order out there. I mean, it works, and it works under rules and regulations, but why?
Right. That's of course the huge question, making me think of Bones in Star Trek saying, "Damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor."
You
know?
I
don't know if I can answer that question. I do believe that life is built into the universe in a very interesting and provocative way because it's a very, even if biology is not an unlikely eventuality, it's clearly an extraordinary thing in a universe that's full of random processes and, you know, inert matter and so on. I'm suspicious that the presence of life in the universe has a profound meaning in some way. Now, I don't know that that meaning accrues to us. I don't think we can necessarily decide we're the special elements of that because there may be a lot of other life there and maybe they're all thinking the same thing too. So, life in the universe, our existence, is saying there's something unusual going on. It's not all just blind forces and, you know, inert matter.
Are you spiritual?
I would say not. I mean, I'm not a reductionist, so I don't believe everything.
And I don't mean religious now.
Right.
That's spiritual.
I know what you're saying.
Right.
So yes, in that sense, yes, I'm not a reductionist. I think there's more than just the sum of all the atoms and all the forces in the universe. There's something else going on. And I don't really think we're smart enough necessarily to figure it out. And so, you know, there's science is also like that. Science has not explained everything. So science can accommodate mystery or things that are not yet explained or things that we may never explain, which is fine.
The title of the book, of course, How It Ends, From You to the Universe. When it does end, is it a sad thing?
I think it's not necessarily a sad thing. You know, I think in the longest time scale, I lay out there in the book, you have massive black holes evaporating by a process that Stephen Hawking enunciated, and that takes something like 10 to the 90 years, some crazy amount of time. And again, life could potentially exist in the universe, and if some super advanced, long-lived life form is warming its hands by the evaporation of the last black hole in the universe, they're going to look around and say, you know, we had a pretty good run.
You know, I also think that as these universes die, these new ones, these from the multiverse, pop up again. And
right.
It just goes on and on and on.
Right. And the modern cosmology is interesting in that regard because, you know, variants of the standard Big Bang theory do accommodate endless universes regenerating and regenerating. And so the Big Bang is not the beginning of everything. And as you say, nor does the end of this universe have to be the end of everything.
I bet if you're at a party, people just circle you, don't they?
Yeah, that's right. It's hard to even get a drink.
You can't do it. You can't, especially if you've got your book in your hand, for crying
out
loud.
But you do. You're right. You have to have a little upbeat message there. Because I didn't feel gloomy writing the book. I mean, it wasn't like I needed a box of antidepressants beside me as I finished pounding it out. Because there's a lot of exciting stuff happening, and I don't actually think the curtain is drawn on everything. I think there's persistence.
I've mentioned this before, Chris, on the program, but when I was younger in school in science, our teacher would tell us about, you know, the life of the sun and would die out in 5 billion years. And I used to go home, and I was depressed. I mean, I used to think, this is it. It's over for all of us. And then one day I just stopped thinking and said, George, it's 5 billion years away. Don't worry about it. And that's how I got over it.
Right. Yeah, you were being extremely sensitive to be upset about something that long, and also extremely aware of the infinite future or the very long future.